We are back here on week 131. We're at his Branded Thoughts. And we are here to break down the schedule for the Iowa Hawkeyes 2020 campaign here, which will start this week. We're going to break down Iowa-Purdue a little later in the show. But we are going to break this down game by game. Like we haven't already.
Would you like to tell the people what happened, Corey?
Now, no, I'm going to let you do that, Noah.
So, on our break, Corey got disconnected from our Skype call and stopped recording, and nobody really noticed. So, we were close to half an hour in, or it seems like it anyways, to our second half, and Corey said, "Hey, can somebody else double check? Are we recording?"
I like when he asks that. He knows that it wasn't recorded. Oh, by the way, Noah and Micaiah, you don't know this, but you probably don't know this, but I think that's the third podcast in a row that we've
No, done. It's not.
It's at least two.
And three I've been on one myself that's happened.
Micaiah and Noah were on one. Yeah, the last one Alex and I did, we broke down what the coaches were saying 2 weeks ago, and we had a similar thing happen for the second half, didn't we, Alex?
I don't remember. It all blurs together.
Yeah, the internet booted me out. Remember that? And it stopped recording. But see, I thought the reason it did it that time was because there's only two people on the call, and you can't have a call with one person. I figured if it booted me out today, there were still three people on the call, and it would be fine.
Anyways, Let's move on. Let's get the second half of this three-hour-long podcast done.
All right. Iowa Northwestern, I guess you want to run through this, or you want me to, Noah? You want me to
I can go through the schedule again. I'll leave you to do the final game since you know the details about that, but we'll get to that. So this coming week, October 24th at 2:30 p.m., Iowa is going to be at Purdue, and that will be available on Big Ten Network for you to watch live. October 31st, Iowa versus Northwestern at home in Iowa City, and that's to be announced yet for the time. November 7th. At home versus Michigan State. November 13th at Minnesota, and that's going to be a night game at 6 o'clock, and that'll be on FS1. November 21st at Penn State, back-to-back road games in mid-November against tough teams, and that one is to be announced. November 27th, home versus Nebraska on Black Friday. And that'll be on either Fox or FS1. December 5th at Illinois, and that is to be announced. December 12th versus Wisconsin in Iowa City, which definitely helps. We, in our previous recording, covered Iowa's record against Wisconsin in recent years. It's not good, so any help they can get against Wisconsin is good. So December 12th versus Wisconsin. And then, of course, December 19th, the Big Ten Championships week, East versus West. Corey, you want to fill in the details of that?
Well, of course, you have the Big Ten Championship game. Obviously, Iowa fans want to be involved with that. Be one versus one for a Big Ten title. Iowa, of course, remembers their one trip to the Big Ten Championship game in 2015, which ended in a heartbreaking loss to Michigan State. I think we can all remember that game. I think we can all remember facets of that game.
Yeah,
but the good news is, Iowa will get a game that day, as will every Big Ten team, because even the teams that don't win the Big Ten will get an opportunity to play. Two versus two from each division will play, three versus three, and so forth. So that'll be interesting to see. I mean, I think it's something that I said in the last recording. I think there's an opportunity for that game to potentially stick as it relates to the scheduling moving forward. Before we move on, Noah, to making our game-by-game predictions, I want to just do something real quick because, you know, it is the annual prediction show, and I feel like we'd be remiss if we didn't do this.
Play fake. Beathard sets up deep in the pocket. Goes down the field for Smith. Oh, he's got it! Smith! Touchdown, 85 yards! Iowa! C.J. Beathard.
Ah, yes, old reliable.
Okay. All right.
Stone, Corey.
No, but that's a really good idea. I have not thought about that. But can you imagine that going off?
Oh, you got it.
All right. Noah, go back to your schedule now. You can pop your schedule back up here. Let's talk about Iowa Northwestern. We will talk Iowa Purdue, which is the first game of the season this Saturday. This Saturday, can you imagine? Can you believe that, first of all? But Iowa Northwestern coming up on October 31st. Technically is the homecoming game, I guess, but it's not really homecoming this year. You are going to get a Wildcats team that has a new quarterback in Peyton Ramsey, the transfer from Indiana, a typical elusive quarterback who's got had some good experience, had some good play at Indiana and Iowa. That's going to be an interesting game, Alex. I know you mentioned that this is a tricky game. Alex, let's start with you. Your thoughts on the Wildcats and the Hawkeyes October 31st.
Well, I think that's a really dangerous team every year in my mind. I think they just seem to kind of have Iowa's number quite a bit. So that's honestly a game that I am torn on picking. I almost feel more confident about the Minnesota game for just from history, the way Iowa's dealt with these two schools. But I'm going to go with Iowa.
Makai.
I am also going to go with Iowa.
Noah?
Iowa.
I'm going to Iowa. You hope this is... If Iowa ends up having a disappointing season, I think this is a game they will lose. This is the type of game that you could see Iowa losing because of the quarterback situation. I'm not predicting an Iowa loss, but I'm gonna go Iowa with the win. But it is a scary game. I agree with that. November 7th against Michigan State, first-year head coach Mel Tucker from Colorado. No more Mark D'Antonio up there in East Lansing. And this game, of course, is in Iowa City. I'm pretty confident about this one. Alex, you got a feel for the Spartans and the Hawkeyes?
Not really. I don't know much about. I don't know what to think about Michigan State. I think that I have to pick Iowa, but I think that is just a kind of a game to watch, just because I'm not sure what to expect out of them.
Micaiah,
I am also going to pick Iowa. I'm not really that confident in Michigan State as a team, so I think Iowa can handle them.
And Noah, can you look up the depth chart real quick from Michigan State? I think Rocky Lombardi, the quarterback from Des Moines, is their starting quarterback, I want to say. As Noah's doing that, I will make my prediction here. I think Iowa wins this game, and I'm more confident in this game than probably in past... definitely than in past years with D'Antonio at the helm. And they've had some down years, but 2017, they weren't great, and Iowa lost up there in East Lansing. But I think the difference is first-year head coach. It is a rebuilding mode, I think, for Mel Tucker, and it is in Iowa City early in the season. I think Iowa takes this game pretty easily.
So we'll see where this goes as the season continues. But currently, according to OurLads.com, Peyton Thorne is above Rocky Lombardi. The redshirt freshman, Peyton Thorne, is listed as the first-string quarterback.
Wow, okay. That's on Our Lads?
Yeah, this is on OurLads.com. Now remember, you told me earlier before we started that it may not be the most accurate and up-to-date depth chart, but I find that interesting that at some point he was above the redshirt junior, Rocky Lombardi.
Yeah, that is interesting. That will be a storyline to follow. But Noah, who you got, Hawks and Spartans?
I'm going to go with the Hawkeyes, especially with it being in Iowa City. Of course, there's no fans, but still, home field feel. I'm going to go
How about a Friday night game between the Gophers and the Hawks? November 13th, so it is a short prep week, and that's a concern with these Friday night games. We talked about how you get a longer prep week when you play on a Friday for the following game, but for the Friday night game, it is a short prep week. 6 p.m., November 13th, Fox Sports 1 at Minnesota. I think a lot of importance is going to be placed on the running attack because of the temperatures as you go further north in the conference and as you get into November, and at the fact that it's a night game. Alex, your predictions.
I think this is a very tough game. I kind of 50-50 on it, but I'm going to go with Iowa. I think Iowa seems to, at least historically, be doing well with Minnesota. Maybe I put too much stock in that, but yeah, I think this will be a really tough game either way, but I'm going to go with Iowa.
Okay.
I'm going to go with Minnesota.
Noah?
I'm going to go with Iowa, but I think it's going to be a really tough game.
I'm going to go with Iowa as well. Iowa seems to have a pretty good handle on Minnesota. I say that and they have lost to Minnesota. I think they lost to Minnesota pretty badly in 2014, if I'm not mistaken. Noah, you want to look up that there, Micaiah, one of you two, look up the Iowa-Minnesota game 2014. I'm pretty sure that was an ugly win, or ugly loss. So that wasn't that long ago. But since then, Iowa has, for the most part, handled Minnesota, even last year when Minnesota went undefeated the majority of the season. What was the score in 2014?
Talk about ugly.
Yep, there you go. That was one of the worst performances that I remember witnessing from an Iowa team ever.
51-14.
Yeah, that was just disgusting. That was absolutely disgusting. So, you know, and linebacker was a problem that year. I will say 2014 was the one year I remember linebacker being an issue. So, but I will go Iowa, but that's obviously the toughest game that I have them winning. Okay. Well, we'll see. I mean, I have them winning a game later in the year as well, but I'm going to go Minnesota there, Iowa. On that one, let's move on to Penn State. At Penn State, they get an extra day for prep against the Nittany Lions. I would not be shocked if by November 21st there are some fans being let into these stadiums, and if they're safely able to do so, more power to them. I don't know if that will happen or not. Micaiah, do you think by November 21st there's a possibility? I mean, we're seeing fans in some of these stadiums and other conferences now, and we're not hearing of any outbreaks or any problems because they are distancing. Can you foresee a scenario where maybe they get some fans in there to make some noise in State College by late November?
They might get some fans, but I still, even if they do, that might be a little bit of an adjustment for the team, but it won't be anywhere near what it normally is because the stadium won't be anywhere near capacity.
Alex, your thoughts prediction-wise, Penn State, Iowa. Of course, the last time they played there, 2018, didn't go so well. We listened to some highlights from that game earlier.
Yeah, I mean, I was used to losing to Penn State. I think this could be a good year for them to break that trend, but it's an away game. I'm going to have to go with Penn State.
Okay.
I'm going to go with Penn State.
Noah?
I'm also going to go with Penn State.
I've got Penn State as well. I always got to prove it to me. Penn State's got some talent back. I mean, Sean Clifford at quarterback, and they of course recruit well. Sean Clifford is a guy who took care of Iowa pretty well, but Iowa held him down defensively for a lot of last year. I mean, Iowa just couldn't throw the football, remember, because of the interior guard play. That was the issue, interior line play offensively, and they just kept letting that Robert Windsor through every time. And KJ Hamler was a problem, but KJ Hamler is gone. I believe he's with the Denver Broncos now. So, you know, they have an opportunity to win that game, but until they prove it to me, I'm going to go Penn State. And that series has been interesting, though. If you look up the past history, I know you were talking about the past history with Wisconsin. Iowa won in 2008, 2009, 2010. Iowa has not beaten Penn State since. Am I correct in saying that, Noah?
One second. Okay, you want to run that by me again?
So the last time Iowa beat Penn State would have been 2010.
2010.
Yeah, and 2016 was...
Yeah, 2009 was the last time they won in State College.
So yeah, I'm seeing your screen right now. Yeah, so 2011 was ugly. 2012, I remember that game. That was ugly. I mean, they beat Iowa in blowouts 2011, 12, and 16. Now, the last three games have been very close. Am I right in saying that?
Yep. 2017, 19-21. 2018, 24-30. and 2019, 12-17. So they've all been one-score games.
2017, if you remember that game, Alex, that was the – we were watching that game in Ty's basement. I think all of us were. That was the game where Saquon Barkley versus Josie Jewell. And,
yeah.
I mean, that game – you remember the last play of the game, Trace McSorley to Juwan Johnson. Mm-hmm. I mean, talk about rip a person's heart out as far as a game. And that, you know, that's really been the story of the last 3 years. Iowa struggled in 2017 to close that game. They struggled in 2018. That game we saw Stanley make some poor choices that cost them the game, poor conditions in State College. And then last year, they just, the interior of the line could not protect Nate Stanley. And despite an unbelievable catch by Brandon Smith, remember that guy sent you a picture of that catch a couple days ago of Brandon Smith making that catch over the defender in the end zone for a touchdown, they lose 17-12. So they got to get points up against Penn State. They've struggled to get points against the Nittany Lions lately. So I don't know. You hope for good weather, but I think Iowa, I mean, Penn State doesn't have Miles Sanders. He's or Saquon. They're both in the NFL now. So, you know, maybe you can have an advantage running the football. Alex, I think you made a good point earlier about running backs for Iowa. Iowa might have an opportunity this year to boast a better running game versus almost every opponent they have. Noah, one other thing I want you to check on this. We made our predictions, I know, already for Minnesota. Does Minnesota still have Ibrahim at quarterback? Or, excuse me, at running back? I know they have Tanner Morgan at quarterback, but if they don't have Ibrahim at running back, to me, I go Iowa advantage there. And I said that's going to be a big storyline in that game on a Friday night in November in Minneapolis. Is the running game against Minnesota? Do they still have Ibrahim?
Yep.
Okay.
Muhammad Ibrahim.
Well, so I don't know. I might call a toss up because that he's a really underrated guy in the Big Ten. So that'll be interesting. But no, I think running attack Iowa may actually have an opportunity to have the upper hand in that Penn State game this year. So where were we with predictions? We all predicted Penn State. Am I right?
Yes.
So let's move on to Nebraska. Black Friday, they get a shortened prep week, but they're used to a shortened prep week for the Nebraska game, and it's the only thing that's going to be, we expect to be normal this year, is playing Nebraska on Black Friday, although it won't be the last game of the year. That game will be on either Fox or Fox Sports 1 on the 27th day after Thanksgiving. Micaiah, or excuse me, Alex, your thoughts on the Huskers and the Hawkeyes?
I'm pretty confident in this game. I think I'm going to go with Iowa.
Micaiah.
I'm also going to go with Iowa.
Are these games close to you guys?
I don't think the Nebraska game is going to be close.
Okay.
Penn State will be.
Yeah, I'm going with Iowa comfortably.
Yeah, I'm also going to go with Iowa comfortably. I don't think it's going to be that close.
Last two games versus Nebraska the last 2 years have been decided by a game-winning field goal. I'm going to go Iowa. And another close one. I'd love to see him blow him out, especially at home, but I will go Iowa.
December I just remember 5th. The one Hawkeye football game I've been to in person was a Black Friday versus Nebraska. They won 40-10. Boy, that was fun game. I didn't have a voice the next day.
There have been a couple blowouts in that game, but they haven't come the last couple of years. I will go Iowa, though. At Illinois, that would be the normal weekend for the Big Ten Championship game, but the schedule was pushed back due to COVID. At Illinois, December 5th, no time or TV station yet. This could be a trap game right before the last game of the regular season against Wisconsin.
Have an extra game, an extra day to prepare. Coming off of the Friday.
Yep, that's true. They do have an extra day. Alex, Illinois and Iowa.
This is another, I think, comfortable win for Iowa.
You really like to write off Nebraska, Illinois. No.
Well, when's the last time either of these teams have really done anything?
Well, Illinois beat Wisconsin last year and went to a bowl game.
Nebraska good last year, a couple years ago?
No. They, but again, I mean, you have to look at the series.
Ever?
You have to look at the series. Nebraska pushed Iowa to a game-winning field goal the last 2 years. Illinois beat Wisconsin last year and went to a bowl game for the first time in like a decade. I'm just saying, I mean, I think all of us are sometimes quick to write off teams that historically Iowa doesn't have problems with, but I just think, you know, Iowa didn't dominate Illinois. What was the score last year?
Illinois is a team that historically a lot of teams have no problems with.
Yeah, you're right. But last year, Wisconsin lost to them.
Okay, so year, we're still on Iowa and Nebraska at this point, right?
Well, I guess we can be.
Okay, so you're right. The last 2 years, Iowa won by a field goal. And then 3 years ago, back in 2017, dominant. The score was 56-14.
Yep.
And then the year before that, the game I was talking about, 40-10. So it's been several years of, you know, the Hawkeyes have been winning the series, but the last couple of games have been close. You're right about that. So now,
Illinois. Look up Iowa, Illinois last year. No, that game was not very lopsided.
19-10.
Yeah, I mean, that was one of those games that never really felt comfortable. But
and
was...
then the year before that in 2018 in Champaign, 63-0.
Yeah.
I will say in the last, let's see, 3, 6, 9, the last 12 games dating back to 2003, Illinois has won once, and it was by a field goal. So Iowa seems to have a pretty good handle on Illinois throughout the
history. Like I said earlier, if it's a disappointing season, Iowa will lose. This is my prediction. If it's a disappointing season, I would not be surprised if Iowa loses to either Northwestern, Nebraska, and or Illinois. I'm not saying it's going to happen, but I would not be shocked by that. So I'm going to go Iowa as well. Did you make your picks, Noah?
I'm going Iowa, if I didn't say it already.
All right, how about Wisconsin? We know Iowa. Wisconsin, that series, Iowa hasn't won a game since 2015, and before that had been since 2009. Right. Of course, we remember the fake punt in 2010 on a season that Iowa had a chance at being really, really, really good. The fake punt kind of derailed the season for the Hawks, it seemed like.
One-point game, kind of that fluke. One, back in 2010. One-point game, 31-30.
Yeah, I mean, I remember that game like it was yesterday. I remember final play. Is this weird that I can remember the final play of the game, that game, Makai?
No.
Wow!
Corey, do you remember what we covered with Iowa's bowl history?
Yes.
A few months ago?
But this I remember. Final play. Can you look up a play-by-play for that game? Or is that even available?
Maybe. We're talking about 2010?
Just Google search. You should be able to find it on ESPN. Iowa, Wisconsin, 2010 football. I guarantee you the last play of the game was Stanzi to Adam Robinson, and they were trying to get a field goal because they were down by one, and Robinson caught it and couldn't get out of bounds, and he's frantically trying to get the ball set back up to try to snap the ball again, and that was the end of the game. And I just remember looking at it thinking, they're not going to be able to get another snap off. This is the game. And, of course, it was. And there you go. They have a play-by-play?
Full play-by-play.
Can you believe that? End of game. Final play was Stanzi to Robinson, and they couldn't get another snap off. Guarantee you. I promise I have not watched this, and I don't think I've ever
seen it. Ricky Stanzi, pass complete to Adam Robinson for 4 yards to the Wisconsin 35. The clock ticks down to triple zeros.
Alex, your thoughts?
None. Blank.
I don't know why. Certain things stand out in my mind, and I just remember that because it was just ridiculous. And I remember later that day, I'm pretty sure we had a get-together as a congregation at the log cabin.
The things that you remember.
And yet I hardly ever can remember, you know, if I'm picking up a tape measure, I can't figure out where I set it down.
It's because it's not Hawkeye related. You should get a Hawkeye tape measure, then you'd remember.
Or if I had a pen. No, but this is a bad memory, Noah.
As long as it's Hawkeye related, you remember it.
But at the same time, I remember weird things with other stuff, like sports that I'm not even that big of a fan. I remember Miami and, well, I guess Miami-Dallas. You know, I like the Mavs, but I don't know. I remember weird things about other sporting events. I don't know why. The games that didn't even matter, and I just remember. It's weird.
Anyways, shall we continue?
Yeah, why are we talking about this? I will go. So let's start with Alex. Iowa, Wisconsin. Of course, we know the history. Iowa hasn't been able to beat Wisconsin really at all, besides 2015 on a kind of a fluke play with the fumble along the goal line for Wisconsin. Although I think Iowa did play excellent defense in that game overall.
Well, I think this is Iowa's year to beat Wisconsin. I mean, Jonathan Taylor's been just a monster, and he's finally gone. So, I mean, what more do you need to say? Obviously, Wisconsin's still going to be a very good team, but I think this is Iowa's year. Iowa's got more firepower than Wisconsin, bar none. And if they can put it all together, if things are working well, quarterback plays good, line plays good, I think this is their year to beat them. So I'm going to go with Iowa.
Okay.
I'm going to go with Wisconsin.
I knew you would.
I do want to make this known to everybody.
Hey, have I ever picked Iowa to beat Wisconsin?
Jack Cohn.
Like 4 years.
Starting quarterback for Wisconsin, Jack Cohn, broke his foot, had surgery, and is out indefinitely. Now, this is the last game of the season, but might that affect Wisconsin's race for the West? Certainly could. They have a five-star quarterback backing him up, but why wasn't he starting in the first place? That tells you that maybe a little overrated rankings-wise, or at least hasn't matured and developed like they hoped. Graham Mertz is the quarterback that will take over the reins, but Jack Cohn is out with a foot injury. Noah?
Oh, man, this is a tough one for me. My brain says Wisconsin. My heart says Iowa, and I'm torn.
Just go with, do what I do. Go with the heart.
Okay, I'll go with Iowa. Wow. It's probably our talk about the depth chart earlier, getting me hyped up for the season. But
all right, I am going to go Iowa here.
I knew you would. Just as I knew Micaiah would pick Wisconsin. Always the pessimist.
They're at home. All right.
Yeah, that was one of the big things for me, was that I was at home in this one.
I think there may be fans in this game. I really do. I mean, we're talking mid-December, and we don't know what COVID's going to do. But, I mean, we see fans. Stadiums are able to pull it off with fans. I mean, we're seeing more and more of this virus, that the virus is being spread through indoors. I mean, it's basically being spread when you're indoors, or when you're face-to-face. I'm not saying it can't spread in any other, you know, by surfaces and whatnot, but we're seeing it, you know, fans are able to come to some of these games and they're pulling it off. So I would not be shocked if there are fans at this game. I will go with Iowa, but certainly big question mark. And if they win that game, there's an excellent chance that Iowa wins the West. With that being said, because we don't know who Iowa will play December 19th. Hopefully it's in the Big Ten Championship game, and most likely that would be against Ohio State. If Iowa were to play Ohio State, do we give them any chance in that game?
I mean, it's Ohio State.
Hey, if they get there, they got a shot.
You really think they have a shot against Ohio State?
Absolutely. If they get to the Big Ten Championship game.
Well, Kyle, according to you, they're barely going to be a 500 team.
Yeah. Are they going to make a bowl game, Micaiah?
Are there bowl games this year?
Yeah. In fact, the NCAA said there's no bowl minimum win game limit. So, in other words, theoretically, an 0-9 team could make a bowl game. Of course, there's not enough bowl games to do that, but
that's just because of the difference in length of schedules.
Basically, yeah. Okay, let's go back. Let's make our predictions to cap off our preseason podcast. Let's make our predictions. Iowa-Purdue. What can we break down here? Obviously, the big storyline over the past month has been Rondale Moore, another guy who is one of the best receivers in the country, opting back in after originally opting out. He's explosive. He did play Iowa against Iowa 2 years ago. Was tremendous. However, Purdue did not have David Bell at the time. Well, Moore was out last year with an injury. David Bell came to Iowa City and torched Iowa. Noah, look up the box score for Iowa-Purdue 2019. This was a game that I was at last year. And if I recall, David Bell, Brandon Smith had a big game for Iowa before he got hurt. But David Bell was just unbelievable. And he did that without Rondale Moore lined up beside him. So, oh boy, Rondale Moore, David Bell, both against Iowa, and it's at West Lafayette. Of course, no fans. How many yards did Bell have?
197 yards on 13 receptions and one touchdown. Dude. Almost 200 yards. But on the flip side, shout-outs to Brandon Smith for getting over 100 yards himself.
Yeah, Smith had a good game, then got hurt. So Purdue's defense is going to be probably fairly, especially earlier in the year, it'll probably be 50 degrees. In the 50s, it'll be a decent day out. Purdue's defense is going to be vulnerable, but their offense, if they can figure out the quarterback position, Jack Plummer is going to be the quarterback. Jack Plum is the backup left tackle for Iowa. I would probably say Purdue's offense is one of the best in the league. I mean, can you imagine Rondell Moore and David Bell lined up next to each other? We haven't even seen that yet because Moore was injured last year, and 2 years ago when Moore played, Bell wasn't there, and now these two guys are there together. I mean, Plummer had over 300 yards against Iowa last year. I don't know what they have to offer at running back. Their ability to throw the ball downfield, Alex, we remember that burning Iowa in 2018, and Jeff Brohm has had Iowa's number. Think about 2017, 2018, 2019. Iowa has not beaten Purdue. Look up the series for Iowa-Purdue, Noah, and it's been pretty ugly since Jeff Brohm has taken over as the head coach at Purdue.
What year was that?
The one we just looked at?
No, that Brohm took over.
I believe 17 was his first year.
Okay, so yeah, so the past 3 years, Purdue won in 17 and 18, and then Iowa won last year.
Okay, so I forget Iowa did win last year, but the two wins.
I mean, it was only a 6-point game, so it was still pretty close, but yeah.
Yeah, the two wins before that should have never happened. They should have never lost to Purdue in 17 or 18, and I give credit to Jeff Brohm for game planning those games. And Alex, you remember those two losses, both the storylines in those games were secondary, having problems. I remember, I think it was 2017. When Agumbawale, I think was his name. Was it Agumbawale? I think that's the guy for Wisconsin. Go ahead and look at the box score, Noah. Iowa.
What game am I looking at?
We're looking at Iowa-Purdue 2017. I can't remember. It was some weird name like Agumbawale or Olatokun. But Iowa, I remember, used like three different cornerbacks, kept changing guys out because he just kept burning them play after play after play. Mahungu. Look at that. Seven receptions, 135 yards for two touchdowns.
Yeah, something I'm noticing that this is
they burn Iowa.
Last year, looking at their, I'll see if I can go back to it. Looking at their running game last year, of course, I don't know if there have been any roster changes, but Purdue's running game was non-existent last year. Yeah. But I guess it didn't need to be given what happened with their passing game.
Exactly. And so my point is, Noah, I mean, look at the top receivers last year. 13 catches, 197 yards, a touchdown. And the year before that, 2 years before that, 2017, Mahungu had, 137 yards.
Seven for 135 and two touchdowns.
I mean, that's basically torching you, isn't it?
Pretty much, yeah.
And so let's look up 2018. I remember 2018, they had several guys. Maybe there was a little bit more spread out, 2018. But it was, Alex, you remember this game. Riley Moss, I think, was his first game, or for his one of his first real games as an Iowa Hawkeye playing. Look at that. Look at that. Read Terry Wright's numbers, Noah.
Six receptions for 146 yards and three touchdowns.
Are we
with
noticing
a long
a trend?
Of 82.
Are we noticing a trend here, anybody? That Iowa is consistently letting Purdue torch them through the air?
Can I just say, that means he was averaging about 25 yards per reception.
Yeah, I mean, like I said,
a quarter of the field per reception.
So it has been Terry Wright, Mahungu, David Bell, and the one guy who hasn't torched Iowa yet happens to be the best receiver Purdue's had in probably 20 years. And guess what? He gets to play alongside the guy who torched Iowa last year, Rondell Moore and David Bell.
And one of our concerns was depth
secondary.
Secondary, so
and safety. Listen, I'm going to make the prediction right here, right now. I know I'm not first in line. I'm taking Purdue this weekend, and I know that sounds crazy as a homer to take. I know Jeff Brohm might be out due to COVID, but I don't know how big of a deal that is. I mean, like Alex said earlier, I think position coaches are bigger on game day, and probably just in general. I mean, the head coach is doing a lot behind the scenes, I think, and organizing things. But I just feel I have a hard time seeing Iowa. I'm not saying they can't win this game, but I mean, what are the let's can we just look at one more stat, Noah, before we get everybody else's predictions and finish this thing out?
This. What are we looking at?
Your enthusiasm is so write this number down. 300. I'm going to look at total receiving yards Iowa gives up against Purdue on a yearly basis compared to average number of receiving yards Iowa gives up to normal Big Ten teams. So 333 in 2019 or 2018? Let's look up 2017 and 2019. Again, since Brohm has been there. What year is this?
Okay, so this is going to be 2019. 327 yards.
Very, very, very similar. Okay, and then let's look up 2017.
229 yards.
So a lot less, but yet you have Mahungu that gets how many yards in that game?
135.
Yikes.
So he had over half by himself.
Well over half, yeah. But if you average, what's those three numbers averaged together, Micah? 333, 337, 229 is not terrible. It's still not good. I think 300 is way too many.
Just shy of 300 yards.
Okay, now can you look up since 2017 average number of? Can you find the stat, Noah? Average number of passing yards given up by Iowa since 2017 to each team.
Go ahead and talk for a little bit. This might take me a second to find.
All right, let's make our predictions. Let's make our predictions. I've got Purdue in that game. That would be Iowa's second loss, according to my predictions. Micaiah, who you got, Iowa, Purdue?
I'm going to pick Iowa.
You got a reason here?
I think the loss of a head coach is bigger than what you're making it out. Now, he comes back for the game. Maybe.
What if it's a negative test? What if it's a false positive?
If the head coach is back for the game, then I'm picking Purdue. But until then, I'm picking Iowa, and I think it's close either way.
Alex.
So, Purdue is the team that has made me very gun-shy about Iowa's secondary in the past, and past few years anyways. And they're the team that, to me, if I was coaching against Iowa, okay, first thing I'm not going to do is I'm not going to play Iowa's game where they try and win the clock battle. And I think Purdue's figured that out. Secondly, I think aside from Josh Jackson and Desmond King, I'm thrown at Iowa secondary big time in the past 4 years.
Michael Ojemudia is a starter for the Broncos.
Yeah, but does that fit in with how he played at Iowa?
Think he was pretty darn good last year. The problem is, has Iowa had two solid corners? Remember, there have been years where we said, why can't they put King on this guy? Why can't they put Jackson on this guy? And the bottom line is, Iowa hasn't historically liked to switch one guy from one side of the field to the other side of the field. I think they've lacked two solid lockdown corners at one time. They've always had one really good one.
Yeah, I mean...
the question is here, if Hankins is the one, if Hankins is your number one guy this year, can either Brents or Moss step up as your number two, and can they all stay healthy?
Yeah, I mean, even when you had King, it's a good point about, you know, us screaming at the TV to put King on the guy who burns you for time after time after time, and, you know, it's aggravating to watch. I know I would coach it differently, but I'm not a head coach. So anyways, I think that Purdue is a very dangerous team. Another thing about the coach being out, I don't think he's, like, even if he's stuck at home in quarantine, he's not watching the game drinking a beer with his feet up. He's on the phone, okay? He's going to be coaching regardless. I guarantee.
Well, hold on
that.
A second. I know the SEC has rules. I don't know if the Big Ten can do that. The SEC has rules. If Saban had not been on the field an hour and a half before the game, he's not allowed any contact by phone, by Zoom, any contact an hour and a half before the game until the final seconds tick off in the fourth quarter.
Well, if the Big Ten has that rule, then it is what it is. But if they don't, he's not going to, you know, he's still coaching to an extent. So, yeah, I don't know what the rules are. But, yeah, I mean, this is a tough game. I think Iowa's coming in with a brand new quarterback. There's so many question marks. I'd like to go Iowa. It's I'm kind of split, actually, on this game. I think I got to go Purdue just because I only have one loss so far. But I think this is a dangerous game. Honestly, to me, it wouldn't be the biggest deal if they lost this game just because it's going to take this team a little bit to get their feet under them just because when you have a brand new play caller, you know, I don't expect the highest thing, you know, right away. I think if they lose this game, if they lose it in a decent way, at least, I'm not totally unhappy. So, I could see it going either way, but I'm going to pick Purdue.
Can we all agree that we would rather, as far as the Big Ten West race is concerned, we'd rather Iowa lose to Purdue and Penn State than lose to Minnesota and Wisconsin? Because if you lose to Penn State, they're in the East, so that doesn't affect, I mean, it does affect the West race as far as the standings go, but it does not, it doesn't help the other team. You lose to Wisconsin, Minnesota, not only do you lose a game in the win column, you also give them an extra game in the win column, and you also lose the tiebreaker. Does that make sense? I mean, I think you'd rather lose to Purdue and Penn State, and I think, Alex, you and I both have them losing to Purdue and Penn State. To me, that's better than losing to Minnesota and Wisconsin if you're going to have two losses.
Right.
So, Corey, I am still trying to figure this out, but it's just not working for me. I'm trying to find where it's allowed. Wait a second. I think I might have just found it.
What year is this for?
This is for 2017.
Yeah, there
I think
you go.
That might be the number I'm looking for.
Okay,
right there.
So 2012. So let's write that number
okay,
down. Okay,
let me just give me a second here, and I'll get these numbers calculated. So I'll erase these and write down the average of.
So, Micaiah, you've got Iowa losing to Minnesota, Penn State, Wisconsin. They're not winning the West if they do that. Now, if they lose to, if they win against Wisconsin, beat Minnesota and Penn State, I would say, can you agree with Micaiah that they could still potentially win the West if Minnesota were to have a couple hiccups in there, which I think very likely they could. This Saturday, by the way, is going to be Minnesota and Michigan on ABC late at night. So, I mean, Minnesota, even if I think the most important game of the season, no question about it, is Wisconsin. But I think if you win that game, you allow yourself some room for error during the rest of the season.
They could beat those teams and end up winning the West, but I don't really see it happening, not this year.
All right, so what do we got here, Noah?
Okay, so you remember that number of 296.3?
Yeah.
That's the average that Iowa had versus Purdue of yards allowed, passing yards allowed. Now, this is total.
Over the past 3 years.
Over the past 3 years. This is yards allowed through the air. Let me double check and make sure I'm collecting from the right. Yeah, so passing yards allowed on an average, and this is including these Purdue games, by the way. In 2017, 212.8. Okay? In 2018, 184.1. And in 2019, 195.7, which averages out to 197 yards.
So, in other words, Iowa's literally given up
an extra 50% to Purdue.
So I think that's the storyline. If we have one next-gen stat, if you want to call it that, no offense to NBC for stealing their thunder there, but if we have a next-gen stat, it's that. Am I right on that for the first game?
I mean, and that's what I would focus on. I don't think I've officially made my prediction. That's what I would focus on in calling this game is thinking about how badly Iowa has struggled against Purdue's passing game over the past few years. What you're talking about with having a twin towers, if you will, of two excellent wide receivers for Purdue and the struggles potential struggles we've talked about, or the concerns at least, with Iowa's secondary, I think I'm going to go with Purdue on this one.
I think the one thing we can all hope for is potentially, possibly, Iowa wide receivers, Brandon Smith, Amir Smith-Marset, Tyrone Tracy, and Nico Reganey, and maybe you add in a guy like Max Cooper or Charlie Jones. Those guys have a chip on their shoulder because of all the attention and hype that guys like David Bell and Rondell Moore are getting. And maybe those guys take it personally. And Brandon Smith, like you said, Noah, last year had a great game before getting hurt against Purdue. I mean, I would not be surprised to see another high scoring game in this one. But it might be totally opposite from what we think. I mean, it's so hard to predict things, especially in 2020. Things that just don't happen according to what you think. I mean, we saw the Dolphins just destroy the 49ers last week, and right now the 49ers are just dominating the Rams. So I don't have anything to, you know, it's just ridiculous. But that is the storyline. So looking at our records for the season, Noah.
So Alex has Iowa finishing with a 6-2 record and losing to Purdue and Penn State. Micaiah has, with an asterisk, 5-3. Losing to Minnesota, Penn State, and Wisconsin. He said something about if Brahm is back, that Purdue would win, which would take Iowa to 4-4. And he just sits there and chuckles. I have Iowa at 6-2, losing to Purdue and Penn State, and then Corey also has Iowa at 6-2, losing to Purdue and Penn State. So Corey, you, me, and Alex are all in agreement that Iowa will go 6-2 and lose to Purdue and Penn State.
Wow. Well, that's interesting because I figured somebody on here besides Micaiah would predict that Iowa loses to Minnesota, not Purdue. I thought I'd kind of be out in left field on that because I've been afraid of this Purdue game for a while. I mean, would any of us be shocked if Iowa loses at Minnesota?
I probably wouldn't be shocked.
Would any of us be shocked if Iowa wins at Purdue?
Nope.
No.
Would we be shocked if Iowa beats Wisconsin or Penn State?
Yes.
You would be shocked if they beat Wisconsin?
Yes.
What? Shocked? Seriously?
Wait, you'd be shocked if they beat Wisconsin, but you said they were going to beat Wisconsin.
Yes. Absolutely.
Okay. Where's the logic on that one, Noah?
I don't know. I think it's 3 hours of podcast logic.
By the way, I have decided I didn't want to do this. I am going to split this thing up. You can't listen. You can't promote a 3-hour podcast. You just can't do it. So we will release probably part one on Tuesday, part two on Thursday. At least we had some solid breakdown. Okay. Final thing on the show before we wrap this thing up, and we are going to go through this quickly, so everybody, let's just make our picks. We're not going to be giving people TV times on the NFL games or anything, but I do want to make some predictions here, just so everybody knows. Right now, the Rams, as we record this, of course, by the time we are done, and you listen to this podcast, this game will be over, but the 49ers are taking care of business in the fourth quarter, 21-9 up on the Rams. Still a lot of game left, but it is 21-9. Texans fell to the Titans in overtime. Colts over the Bengals. How bad are the Vikings, dude? I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Y'all, I know you're Vikings fans. I have no problem.
Corey, look. You don't have to apologize for the Vikings. We know they're terrible this year.
Well, you guys were
the
down
problem
on the
is they re-signed Kirk Cousins.
Okay. Listen, I will say this. You guys were down on the Vikings for the past several years, and I've said, well, they're better than people give them credit for. They are freaking terrible now. Do you realize that? They may be the worst team in the league. They may be the worst team in the league. They lose to the winless Falcons. They gave up 40 to the Falcons at home.
You keep talking about Kirk Cousins. They could always see if Tarvaris Jackson is available. We could go back there.
You retired.
Or maybe Christian Ponder.
Okay, I know you guys weren't a huge Nate Stanley fan, but at this point, why not? Seriously. Am I right, Micaiah? Why not give him a run? Why not give him a run?
Anything's better than Kirk Cousins.
I think you got to give Nate Stanley a run up there.
Kirk Cousins is an overpaid Ryan Fitzpatrick.
He's not even Ryan Fitzpatrick.
All right. Yeah, the Vikings are terrible. 40-3. Patriots lose at home. I think Cam Newton a little bit rusty coming off his COVID bout. 18-12. Giants over the Washington football team, 20-19. Ravens over the Eagles, 30-28. Steelers beat the Browns in a blowout. Bears over the Panthers. Lions over the Jaguars. Dolphins over the Jets. Dolphins looking decent right now. Buccaneers blowing out the Packers. Of course, Monday night we'll get Chiefs, Bills, Cardinals, Cowboys. But let's make our predictions for Week 7 in the NFL. We'll go Alex, Micaiah, Noah, and myself in that order. This Thursday, we had no Thursday night game last week. We do get Thursday night this week. Two teams that are a combined 2-9-1. The Giants and the Eagles, the NFC. How bad is the NFC East, especially?
A real barn burner.
How bad is the NFC East, especially without Dak Prescott, Alex? I mean, you got the Washington football team, the Eagles, the Giants, and the Cowboys.
Shout-outs to the Washington football team that couldn't come up with a real name.
And how bad was that Dak injury?
Oh, I didn't even see it. I heard about it, and it's still...
Oh, I watched it. It was one of the... It's like Rajon Rondo's injury. Remember his arm for the Celtics years ago when he went down and his elbow went one way and his arm went the other way?
You mentioned Celtics and elbow, and I think of Kelly Olynyk. I think it was Olynyk and Kevin Love.
Yeah, the same thing. Oh, okay, yeah. Well, and don't forget, Paul George had a pretty gruesome injury in the Olympics, didn't he?
Was that the Olympics?
Oh, yeah. That was a USA basketball warm-up game.
And he's
okay. Scrimmage.
And he obliterated
the stanchion. The stanchion's like 2 feet closer in Olympic basketball. Yeah. So what wouldn't have hurt him in the NBA hurt him in that game.
Yeah, I've seen.
Okay, Giants, Eagles, Alex.
I'll go Eagles.
Okay.
Going with the Eagles.
I will also take the Eagles.
I'm going to go with the Giants. Devontae Freeman playing a little bit better.
Is there really anything going for the Giants?
Well, they got Devontae Freeman off for free agency. Devontae Freeman, he's playing better. I think he had over 60 yards today on the ground. But they had nothing behind him. They have nothing as far as rushers. Deion Lewis is the only other guy, really. But, yeah, I mean, they're going to be terrible. It's going to be it's basically... Who can get Trevor Lawrence first? If I'm the Vikings, I am tanking for Trevor Lawrence at Clemson. And if you can't get Trevor Lawrence, maybe get Justin Fields. I don't think Justin Fields necessarily fits in with the Vikings way, but maybe they need to change their way. But you get Justin Fields and Trevor Lawrence next year in the draft, I'd be tanking if I'm Minnesota right now.
They're tanking without trying, I think, at this point.
Then, like I say,
like you said, they gave up 40 to the Falcons.
Okay, let me ask you something. If you know that Kirk Ferentz isn't part of your future, or Kirk Ferentz.
be part of Minnesota's future at this point.
Let me ask you this. If you know that Kirk Ferentz, what's going on?
4 hours.
If you know that Kirk Cousins is not part of your future, can you tell me, Noah, what would be the downside of playing the quarterback that you just drafted?
Paying him.
What?
Paying him because you have to get him off the practice squad.
I understand, but you don't have to pay him that much.
You're not trying to win anyway.
I know, but you just drafted him. Maybe you actually find lightning in a bottle.
It's all about making it look good that you kept Kirk Cousins around, which isn't possible, but that's what they would be trying to do. That's the only thing I've got for you.
Well, all right.
Because they're paying him a ton of money.
Lions, Falcons, Alex. Sunday.
I'll go with the Falcons.
Okay.
I'm going with the Lions.
I will also take the Lions.
I'll go Lions as well. Browns, Bengals.
I'll go with the Browns.
Also the Browns.
Browns.
I like the Browns, boy. They look good today. 3 hours in, they just lost 38-7. Oh, they look good today. No, I will go with the Browns. The Bengals actually look better than I thought, but no, I will go with Browns. Steelers, Titans, boy, these two teams look real tough. Talk about a game that should be Sunday night or Monday night football. Both teams 5-0. Alex, Steelers, Titans.
I'll go with the Titans.
I am also going to go with the Titans.
I will go with the Titans.
Alex, stop picking my teams.
I know.
I believe the Steelers are for real. Their defense, I'm bought in after seeing how they played defensively today. I will go with Pittsburgh. Panthers, Saints.
Saints. I'll skip ahead in my turn since no one's talking.
Is that a question?
Excuse me?
Was that like a separate sentence?
What?
Pittsburgh Panthers Saints. What is that?
What?
That was like just the poorest punctuation.
What are we talking about? I said Panthers Saints.
I'll go with the Saints.
I will go with the Saints.
I'll go Saints as well. That's a big NFC South battle, by the way. Both teams hovering around 500. Bills and Jets, two teams turning in opposite directions. Alex?
I'll go with the Bills.
I'm going to pick the Bills.
I will also go with the Bills.
I like the Bills. Cowboys, Washington. Noon on Sunday.
That sounds so weird.
What Cowboys and the football team.
I'll go with Dallas.
I'm picking the professional football team out of D.C., Washington.
I will also take the Washington football team, especially losing Dak. It's going to be an interesting change for Dallas.
We'll see what happens tomorrow night with Andy Dalton at quarterback, but I will go Washington. Packers, Texans.
I'll go with the Texans.
I'm going to pick the Packers.
I think I'll take the Texans.
Texans have been bad this year, but the Packers look bad today. I will go with Packers on Sunday. Seahawks, Cardinals.
I'll go with the Seahawks.
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 I like the Cardinals. You know, it's interesting, the NFC West, which is the Seahawks, Cardinals, 49ers, and Rams, all teams above 500, except the 49ers, who look like they're going to get to 500 after tonight. You compare that with the NFC West, East, which is just atrocious. It's amazing, a lack of parity between the two conferences. I will go Cardinals there. Chiefs, Broncos.
I'll go with the Chiefs.
This game is over before it starts. I'm going with the Chiefs.
You mean the Chiefs versus the NFL free agents list? Because that's what the Broncos are playing now with all their injuries?
Noah Fant might be back for that game. Might.
Did anyone see Le'Veon Bell is now a Chief?
I hadn't heard anything about that, but sure, okay, why not?
Well, he's not going to be the number one guy there. They've already got Clyde Edwards-Helaire, but he will get some time.
So I will take the Chiefs if I haven't said that already.
Isn't it like LeSean McCoy last year that they had?
Yeah.
I can't remember.
LeSean McCoy has been a disappointment for years. He's down in Tampa Bay. He's like the third guy in the depth chart. I will go with the Chiefs there as well. 49ers, Patriots.
Hey, where is Frank Gore?
Is he still in Miami?
Oh, he's actually going to be the starter now that Bell's gone. Him and P. Ryan.
dude, that guy is like 50.
I know.
He's 70 in running backers.
They're like, we got to get P. Ryan involved more, and Adam Gase is a terrible head coach. He's like, we got to get P. Ryan more involved more because we can't rely on Frank Gore at his age. And then they hand the ball off to him like 20 times.
It's like, Frank Gore, the dude refuses to get injured, refuses to stop being good at his job.
All right, who you got, 49ers, Patriots?
I'll go with the Patriots.
I am going to pick the 49ers.
I'm taking the Niners, the fighting Frank Kittles.
I will go with the Niners as well. Frank. Jaguars and Chargers.
That's been too long. I'll go with the Jags.
I'm going with whoever's not the Jags. Rule number one, never pick Jacksonville.
Noah?
I'm sorry, I was thinking about something else when you... Who's...
Jaguars, Chargers.
I'll take the Chargers.
I like the Chargers as well. I think they've got something in L.A. You know, they've lost all four games by less than a touchdown. That's actually a decent team, and they just can't close games out. I will go with the Chargers. Buccaneers, Raiders, Sunday Night Football.
I'll go with the Raiders.
I will be picking the Buccaneers. For once, Alex and I disagree. Well, second time. He picked the Jags.
I will take probably the Raiders.
I'm going to go Bucks here. They look good today. Bears, Rams, Monday Night Football. Should be a good game.
Battle of dysfunctional franchises. I'm going to go with the Bears.
I'll also take the Bears.
I will go with the Rams. I think the Bears are not—they're not 5-1. I mean, they are 5-1, but I think their record is better than they are. I will say that. Okay, and finally, college football. You are going to get a chance to change your Iowa picks if you want. I just want to give a couple notable picks or a couple notable games from this past week. The team that beat Iowa State Week One, Louisiana Lafayette, their stretch finally runs out. They lose to Coastal Carolina 30-27, so they're out of the top 25 now. Let's see. BYU snuck by Houston. SMU beat Tulane in overtime. Boy, listen to this number. Number one, Clemson over Georgia Tech, 73-7. Number 15, Auburn, who should have lost last week on a botched call by the refs, they lose to South Carolina. Kentucky storms through number 18, Tennessee. There weren't a whole lot of great games. Number four, Notre Dame did beat Louisville. I didn't watch really any football yesterday. Number 11, Texas A&M over Mississippi State, 28-14. Number five, North Carolina, they did get upset by Florida State, 31-28. And, of course, number two, Alabama beat number three, Georgia, 41-24 behind Nick Saban's coaching. And then number 23, Virginia Tech over Boston College, 40-14. I mean, there wasn't a whole lot to look for. Miami beat Pittsburgh 31-19. That's basically it. I will say this. Iowa's been hovering just outside the top 25. You know, they were preseason top 25 before the Big Ten canceled, and once they canceled, they've been hovering on the outside. I think around like 34, 35, if you count that far down in the rankings. This week, the rankings that came out today in the AP top 25, Iowa would be 26, 27, 28, 29, 30, 31. The Big Ten teams that are ranked, Minnesota at 21, Michigan at 18. Iowa State, by the way, is at 17. Wisconsin at 14. Ohio State at 5. Penn State at 8. So that's the Big Ten in the AP poll. In the coaches poll, Ohio State's at 5, Penn State at 7. Wisconsin at 14, Michigan at 17. Iowa State from the Big 12 is at 18. Minnesota's at 21. And Iowa would be 26, 27, 28, 29, 30, 31, 32, 33, 34. Other Big Ten teams receiving votes, Nebraska, Indiana, both receiving votes, which I find somewhat interesting. Although we all know preseason votes don't really matter, and it's still preseason for the Big Ten. And over in the other poll, the AP poll, we didn't mention other teams receiving votes. Indiana, the only other Big Ten team besides Iowa, that is receiving votes but not in the top 25. So let's make our predictions for major games week 8. We'll avoid the Big Ten here. as now that the Big Ten is starting up this week, we got a better gauntlet of games, and the Pac-12 will be starting up in a couple weeks. Let's see here. I don't even want to pick some of these games.
Then why are we doing this?
Well, like the Clemson game, I mean, they just beat Georgia Tech 73-7. Who you got, Noah? Number one, Clemson, or 1-4, Syracuse?
Clemson over anyone that's not Alabama.
All right, we can always say Clemson. Can we all say Clemson in that game?
Yeah.
Okay, how about this one? Number 14, North Carolina. Number 23, North Carolina State, 11 a.m. ESPN. Alex?
I'm going NC State.
I'm going with North Carolina.
I'm going with Clemson. I'll take North Carolina.
I will go North Carolina State. North Carolina, this should be a fun game, and it's an in-state rivalry. How about this rivalry? Number 20, Kansas State and Kansas, 11 a.m. FS1. Kansas is terrible again at 0-4. Alex?
I'll go with K-State.
I'm going to go with Kansas State.
Kansas State.
I'll go Kansas State as well. Coastal Carolina is in there now, 4-0, number 25. They play 3-1 Georgia Southern, 11 a.m. ESPNU.
I'll go with Coastal Carolina.
I'm going to go with Georgia Southern.
I'll take Coastal Carolina.
I go Coastal Carolina. I think Georgia Southern's only loss was to Louisiana Lafayette, so they're a decent team. That should be a good game. Let's see. I mean, we could pick Auburn, Ole Miss, Oklahoma, TCU, but those teams all have multiple losses. I guess we could do number 22, Marshall, taking on 1-0 FAU, Florida Atlantic. Alex?
I'll go FAU.
I pick Marshall.
I'll go FAU.
I got Marshall as well. How about number 2, Alabama at Tennessee, 2:30 p.m. on CBS?
Alabama.
Alabama.
Roll Tide.
I will go Alabama. Number 3, Notre Dame at Pittsburgh, 2:30 p.m. ABC.
Notre Dame.
You know, I'm just going to pick Pittsburgh for that. For the
wow,
Wolves.
I'd love that. I'd love it if you're right on that one.
I'll take the Fighting Irish.
I like Notre Dame as well. Probably the game of the week nationally, and certainly the game of the week for people here in Ames. Iowa State has got an excellent chance at making a run at the Big 12 title. I mean, they've got an excellent chance. Texas and Oklahoma both have two losses. Iowa State is 2-0 with a win over Oklahoma. They take on number 6, Oklahoma State, at Oklahoma State in Stillwater, 2:30 p.m. on Fox. Huge, huge, huge game in the Big 12 and for Cyclone fans, Alex.
I go with Iowa State.
Iowa State.
Wow.
You know what? I'll take Iowa State.
I'm going to Iowa State as well. If they win this game, they are the odds-on favorites to win the Big 12.
By
no
the
question
way,
about it.
Speaking of Iowa State, when was the last time there was not a Iowa versus Iowa State?
Wasn't it like the 60s or 70s when they stopped the series?
I will look it up quick.
Okay, we'll continue as you do that. Number 19, Virginia Tech at Wake Forest, 2:30 ESPN3, Alex.
I'll go Tech.
I'm going to go with Virginia Tech.
Noah?
I didn't even hear. I'm working on something else.
Who you got, number 19, Virginia Tech at Wake Forest?
I'll take Virginia Tech.
I got Tech as well. Let's see. Any other notable games here? Virginia is at number 11, Miami, Alex, 7 p.m. ACC Network.
I'll go with Miami.
I got Miami as well, Micaiah.
Miami.
Noah?
Miami.
Number 9, Cincinnati at number 16, SMU, two undefeated teams, 8 p.m. ESPN2, Alex.
I'll go Cincinnati.
SMU.
I'll take SMU.
I like SMU as well. Number 12, BYU, 5-0, taking on Texas State, 9:15 p.m. Central Time, ESPNX.
Go with BYU.
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 I'll go BYU as well. We kind of stuck with the Big Ten or the top 25 games there because there are quite a few not top 25 teams that normally be notable games, but they've already got two or three losses, and we've already been recording for 2 hours plus. So Anyways.
Okay, so I looked it up.
Yeah.
The Cy-Hawk game stopped between 1934 and 1977 were the last and first games on either side of the break. So 1977 all the way through 2019, there has been a Cy-Hawk game.
It's unprecedented, and I think, I mean, who knows? Iowa may have caught a break by not playing them this year because they look good. They didn't look good week one, but they have looked really good
since. You're talking the first missed Cy-Hawk football game in 43 years.
You know, I do. Here's what I'll say, this, and we don't know what's going to happen with Iowa and Iowa State, and I don't know that there's a Big 12, Big 10 bowl game, but I could see some crazy scenario where both these teams fall just short of a Big 10 title. And they get matched up in a major bowl game together.
I think, personally, this is just me, I think Iowa State's going to come very short of a Big Ten title.
Conference title. Anyways. All right.
That would be crazy to see, though, not just a Cy-Hawk game, but in a bowl game, too.
Yeah. Wouldn't you say that would bring a lot of attention? I mean, obviously from in-state people. Okay. Rutgers at Minnesota. We're going to break down the Big Ten games to finish things off. Rutgers at Michigan State. Saturday at 11 a.m., Alex.
I'll go with Rutgers.
Okay.
Who's the other team?
Michigan State.
I'm going to pick Michigan State.
I will also take Michigan State.
This game, 11 a.m. on BTN on Saturday, I will go Michigan State. Actually, you know what? I'm going to go Rutgers. I'm going to go surprise there because I just don't know what to make of Michigan State. I will go with the Spartans. We missed a game Friday, Illinois at number 14, Wisconsin. That's a Friday night game, first Big Ten game of the season. This Friday, 7 p.m., BTN, Badgers and Illini. Of course, the Badgers lost to Illinois last year, Alex.
I'll go with Illinois.
You're over
gonna
Wisconsin?
Wisconsin.
Sorry. I'll go with Wisconsin.
he's not paying attention either.
I'll take Wisconsin.
Look, I'll be honest. Half these teams, I forget by the time it's my turn to pick, so I just pick what Alex picked.
And you get after him for picking what you pick.
Who'd you pick, Makai?
I picked Wisconsin.
Wisconsin.
I'm going to go Wisconsin as well. I would love to see him lose, obviously. If you're an Iowa fan, you're always rooting against Wisconsin, against Minnesota, against Purdue. And boy, Wisconsin's schedule, we didn't really break down Wisconsin's schedule, guys, but if you look at Iowa's schedule in comparison to Wisconsin's, yes, Iowa doesn't have to play Ohio State on the road. They do get at Penn State as a crossover game. They get Michigan State. But I mean, you look at Wisconsin's schedule, Illinois, Nebraska, Purdue at home. They do get Michigan on the road. That's going to be the tough one. At Northwestern, home Minnesota, at Iowa, home with Indiana. I think some people are overlooking that Indiana game, but most people saying, well, Wisconsin's game is cake. I don't think it's cake. But obviously, if you're an Iowa fan, you're rooting against Wisconsin. I will take the Badgers, though, for that game. Nebraska at number 5, Ohio State. Nebraska, for all their bickering and complaining about the Big Ten canceling, boy, the Big Ten paid them back with a really tough schedule. They have to go at Ohio State to start things off, 11 a.m. on Fox.
Ohio State.
I got OSU going away. How about number 8? Boy, wouldn't it be great if Nebraska won that game? It'd be something at least. Number 8, Penn State at Indiana. This is a sleeper game here, 2:30 p.m. on FS1.
Or with Penn State.
Penn State
in a close one, but I will go with the Nittany Lions. Number 18, Michigan at number 21, Minnesota, 6:30 p.m. ABC, Saturday Night Football on national television.
I'll go with Michigan.
Minnesota.
I think I'm going to take Minnesota.
I'm going Minnesota as well. Obviously, you're an Iowa fan. You're rooting for Michigan, but I will go with the Gophers. I think they surprise the Wolverines, similar to how they surprised the Nittany Lions, or didn't, maybe not surprise, but they did upset the Nittany Lions last year. Maryland and Northwestern, 6:30 p.m. on BTN.
I'll go with Northwestern.
Northwestern.
I'll take Clemson.
Well, Clemson is closer to Maryland, so I'm going to say you pick Maryland. I'm going to go with Northwestern. I think
I'll actually take Northwestern.
I think Pat Fitzgerald will have them ready That's just what he does. And Peyton Ramsey's an experienced quarterback. I will go with Northwestern. And finally, we go back to Iowa, Purdue. Anybody interested in changing their picks after our huge, long discussion of everything? Right now, matchup predictor, FPI for ESPN, has Iowa 64.1%. Are you surprised by that, Alex? Iowa favored that by that much by ESPN's Power Football Index, Football Power Index?
Yeah, a little bit. I don't think I'll change my pick, though.
Okay, you going to change yours?
Actually, no.
Noah?
No, I'm still going to say Purdue.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I'm still going with Purdue. Right now, as far as the money line, over-under is 53.5. You think that's pretty accurate? So that'd be, say it ends up 26 to 27. That's about the money line. I mean, is that accurate?
That sounds about right, especially given what we covered with Purdue's passing game. I'd say that's pretty accurate.
And Iowa's favored by 4.5. On the road. But again, no crowd. The no crowd thing is going to help Iowa this year on the road. Let's be honest. That at Penn State game would be really tough if it was a packed house. I mean, it's going to be tough anyways, but... all right. That game, 2:30 on ABC.
Also on BTN.
What did I say?
ABC.
Why did I say ABC?
I don't know, but I thought you saw something else, so I said and BTN. I still got the schedule up. I'm staring at the Purdue game right now. 2:30, Big Ten Network and Hawkeye Radio Network.
Final keys. Let's go ahead, and since we've already made our predictions, Alex, give me keys for Iowa to win against Purdue Saturday.
I think secondary plays got to be big. Kind of goes without saying. Probably the biggest factor, I guess, is quarterback and offensive line. I think if that whole little unit there meshes together, the line plays well enough, and I think they will. And I'm not sure what to expect from Petras, but I think that if he plays a good game, if Iowa can at least hold their own a little bit on defense, which I think they probably will, I think Iowa has a chance. It's a tough game for me, honestly. I'm not sure who to pick in that game, but I think I just have to stick with Purdue.
Keys to the game, Michigan. Why am I calling Micaiah Michigan? Micaiah,
because he looks like a Harbaugh.
Yeah, a bald Harbaugh. You look like a bald Harbaugh, Micaiah. Okay, give me keys for Iowa to actually beat Purdue this Saturday. This defense. Saturday, can you?
Defense is the key.
Secondary.
Yeah, I don't think Iowa's going to have a problem scoring. I think that their secondary is going to have to really slow down.
I agree with you on that. I really think, and I believe this, Noah. Iowa should be able, I know it's a new quarterback, but given the personnel and given Purdue's history of not being the best defensive team, besides, like, I think maybe 2016 they were pretty good in defense, or 2018, one of those years, for the most part, they're not a real strong defensive team. We have seen that for the most part. Iowa should be able to score against them with the receiving talent, the running back talent, the tight end talent, the offensive line. Iowa should be able to put points up, Noah. Give me your key to the game.
And I agree with you on that, which means I'm going back to what both Micaiah and Alex said. It's going to come down to the defense, specifically the secondary, and slowing down that Purdue passing attack.
I'm going to say the same thing. I think we're all kind of beating a dead horse, but I don't know how you cannot go, when we looked at those numbers, how you cannot go secondary. Safety's going to be big.
At this point, the horse died a long time ago.
Yeah, I know. You're beating him into the grave now. But I think safety, I'll kind of switch it up. Safety is going to be big because we're all talking corner. I think Iowa will be okay at corner as long as we don't hear about an injury this week to either Moss, Brents, or Hankins. I think safety, they've got to figure out, because you don't want to have to throw Belton back there. And then who do you play at cash? Do you have to go back to 4-3? And then who, you know, one of those linebackers is going to be matched up against one of these wide receivers. So
you're
get into
saying
some
they really
situations.
Should.
I hope.
You're saying they really should put Merriweather in at strong safety.
I mean, if he's, they should put him in if he's ready. I'm hoping he's ready. That's what I'm saying. Because if he's not ready, he's not ready. But I mean, I just hope it would be great if it would be. I think it'd be a great sign if the depth chart comes out tomorrow morning and we see Kayvon Merriweather and Kerner as the starting safeties.
Hey, can I throw in a last minute addition to our season predictions?
Yes.
My father just texted me because he knows we're recording this podcast. Hawks 6-2 regular season, second place behind Minnesota in West Division, beat Michigan in championship weekend, play ISU in bowl game somewhere.
So that's wait, he said play Iowa State?
Play ISU in bowl game somewhere.
So that's almost exactly what a lot of us predicted. And we all said 6-2.
You, me, and Alex all said 6-2. He has them finishing west or second in the west behind Minnesota.
Okay.
And then facing ISU in a bowl game.
I don't have a problem with that.
Especially if they do lose to Minnesota, it'd be very easy to say, you know, Minnesota could win the West.
I honestly, and tell just one of you three, give me an objection if I'm wrong on this. I would not be surprised if either Iowa, Wisconsin, Purdue, or Minnesota won the West this year. Would not surprise me. Am I right on that? I mean, would any of those four teams winning the division surprise any of you? I mean, I just think Purdue's got question marks, but their wide receiver talent is better than anybody. And we know what Minnesota and Wisconsin bring, and I think we all give Iowa a chance.
The only one I would argue about is Purdue.
You don't think Purdue's got a shot at the division?
Not a real shot, especially given what... Do they have a small chance of winning the division? Sure. But given what they're facing this year, I don't think they're going to...
Are we all discounting Northwestern a little too soon, as everybody always does? They're like a couple of years ago, and they won the division like 2018, and nobody thought they could, and they won the division. I hope that doesn't happen. Their defense was really good last year, but they had no offense. So, all right, we will close this thing out. Week 131, finally. It's been we thought this was going to be a sprint. It was more like a double marathon. and we're four and a quarter hours in. Imagine if you began a marathon and you got about 30 miles down the road and found out that the gunshot you thought that started the race was actually a car backfiring. And you got to go back to the starting lineup and start again. That's what we did here. We thought that the gun fired off. It never did. We had to restart part two. So we've been on here for, 4 hours?
Yep.
Hey, at least we only do it. We only have this thing. Most of our normal shows don't go this long, although we're about half this. So anything else to add? Iowa Purdue this
no.
Saturday.
We've already mention- been beating the dead horse.
You could mention the NBA champion.
Oh, yeah.
The Lakers are NBA
champions. I don't
really
care about them. But
yay.
Yeah, and now we're just waiting for the next season, which probably come in late December, early January. My guess is January. Congratulations to the Tampa Bay Lightning for winning the Stanley Cup, and the MLB playoffs are still going. The World Series is about to do. A lot of sports going on right now. We'll say that. So for Alex Brada, Micaiah Kruko, Noah Kruko, I'm Corey Brada. Thank you for joining us for a marathon and a half of Brada's Branded Thoughts. We will be with you again soon. Hopefully this next week talking about an Iowa win. Wouldn't it be great if Iowa could go on the road at West Lafayette and win? If they do that, I think all of us will be like, okay, I think we'll all be a lot more comfortable moving forward this season because this is a tough matchup on Saturday. We will talk to you next week.
Corey just lagged out again. Quick, stop reporting.
Loser.
I'm going to have me some tangy barbecue pop chips now.
Hello?
Just kill this thing. Just kill it.
All right. Let's try that again. Where did it? Okay, just bear
with it. Never ends.
Just bear with me here. Hold on a second.
Oh, man.
Hold on a second.
Nothing has ever needed to die like this podcast.
Hold on a second.
Just kill it.
Just kill it. All right, here we go. 3, 2, 1. And in tribute to the Iowa Hawkeyes and the Big Ten season. We've had so many issues with this podcast as the hours creep along. Let's just finish this thing. Iowa Purdue this weekend at 2:30 p.m. And we just hope. Hold on a second. Okay, it started mid song. Let's okay, one more time. Okay.
Cut.
All right, hold on just a second. All right, I think I got everything primed. All right, and so, all right, 3, 2, 1. So for Alex Prada, Micaiah Grucco, Noah Grucco, I'm Corey Bruce.
For week 131 of Brandis Brandon Thoughts, this is Noah Grucco signing off for everybody. Have a wonderful day, and we'll be back.
We leave you with Happier from Blake Shelton, Gwen Stefani. Thank you for joining us. We'll talk to you week 132. Iowa Purdue this Saturday, 2:30 p.m. on BTN. We'll be back next week. Go Hawks. I'm running wide open. I was born with my feet in motion. Since I met you.